The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mokjustice Gabaza.
Good day and welcome to The Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on Voice of Wits, that is VAL FM on 88.1. We're broadcasting live from our studios in Bramfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Gavaza and I'll be your host for today. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now, it's been a very busy week this week in terms of the economy and business, and I think one of the biggest things is that Joe Biden is now the president-elect in the U.S., despite some of the objections that the incumbent President Donald Trump has at the moment. It's something that we've been following, and when you listen to a number of economists just talking about this, it is an election that we need to keep an eye on. And we did speak about it last week, and we are just following the saga, the drama that is that election. But otherwise, for today, we are looking at how South African tourism has handled the COVID-19 pandemic, because this is one of the biggest contributors to GDP in the country. It's said to employ about 1.5 or so million people in the country, which is a lot, right? So we just have to check in on that and just see what's going on and how people have been surviving. And it's also topical because this week the president actually said that the country will reopen international travel to all countries subject to health and safety regulations and a clearance certificate. Now, if you go on the Presidency South Africa Twitter account, they actually have some nice infographics just telling us that all international travel will resume subject to the stringent health protocols. Travelers will need to present a negative COVID-19 test result not older than 72 hours from the time of departure. And when necessary, travelers will need to enter mandatory quarantine facilities at their own cost. So that's it in front of on that front. In terms of the wider economy and tourism as a whole, we're going to be talking to Chifua Chivengwa, who is the chief executive of tourism, of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa, about what the role of tourism is to the greater economy. And then we then get to talk to someone who is on the front lines, Sipokazi Koza, who is the founder and director of STM Travel Agency, about the experience of actual travel businesses and tourism operators during this time. Also coming up for the next hour, we're going to be getting into the business wrap. That's a part of the show. We give you the week's top trending business and economics news. And then we get into the Buffalo Index, where we tally the state of your 100 Rand. Now, remember that you can keep in touch with us. We are VAL FM or Voice of Wits on Facebook. Our other Facebook page is the Wits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VAL FM. And then our hashtag is hashtag business buzz. You can also stream the station live on valfm.co.za, and remember that podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on fits.journalism.co.za/business. Alternatively, you can go and find us on iono.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts. So that's how the show is looking like. Make sure you stay with us. We're here for the next hour. Keep it locked. This is 88.1
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into the week's top trending business and economics news, and on the line to, you know, talk to us about that, we've got our financial expert Ken Swettenham on the line. Ken, greetings to you. How's been the week this week in the economy?
Well, then we've not had a bad week economically wise. I mean, the markets have gone up, although they dropped today, but they're up for the week. The exchange rate is doing very well against our major currencies. And sadly, though, the biggest story of the week, which came out this morning, is not a good story. It's the unemployment figures for the last quarter. Although it's not a good story, it's not a surprising story. Needless to say, unemployment is at a record high of 30.8%, which in simple terms means nearly one-third of South Africans of working age are now unemployed. And it looks like it could get worse going forwards as well. So not a good news story to hit the wires this morning, unfortunately.
And I guess, you know, with all of that in mind, what do you make of the president's speech this week? Because it was a different kind of speech. Usually we're used to these speeches having a long list of rules, but it sounded more like a speech with the president saying that we just need to be careful. They're going to open things up a bit more, but we just need to be more careful.
Yes, you're 100% right. It's certainly a different tone than he had. Do you remember his speech back in March, where he was almost like a father punishing a naughty school child? And that's how we all felt at the time, I think. But when we look at what's happening in the world, and I'm by no means a COVID-19 expert, but we look at what's happening in the Northern Hemisphere in particular, with infections absolutely skyrocketing, and you have to feel that South Africa has dealt with this pandemic better than some of our more economically active neighbours. Neighbours up in the Northern Hemisphere, the European and the American countries. But it has come at a price, and the price is obviously our economy. So in a situation now where our active cases are at the lowest level they've been in several months, in fact, and our daily new infections seem to be stabilising. But the president is quite right. If we are not careful, if we don't keep following the social distancing and wearing masks and all the things we know about, then obviously they're going to be forced to bring in hard lockdowns if our infections go up. So it's up to us as a country to behave ourselves and try and get this economy working, because the unemployment, as I've just mentioned, is no doubt as a result of the lockdown that we've had since March and the number of people who have lost their jobs in that time, as well as many other economic woes that we're currently going through.
And then I guess lastly, for today, I guess on the back of everything, we've got the unemployment figures up. You know, we are now talking about what's going on in the rest of the world. Do you think that, you know, some of those issues about what's going on in the Northern Hemisphere, that might have some type of an economic impact, you know, given how export-driven South Africa is, for example?
You're 100% right. I mean, both America and the UK in particular are quite large trading partners with South Africa, as well as countries like China and many other European countries as well. But we do trade a lot with those companies. South African wines, if you've ever traveled, I'm just using it as an example, but if you've ever traveled to Europe or America, you'll often see a South African wine in restaurants. They're extremely popular, and a lot of our wine is exported to Europe. If they're not monitoring their economies or working their economies, people are not going to be ordering, and it will have a negative impact on our exports. I'm sure there are some industries very worried on how long these lockdowns are going to happen or will carry on for in the Northern Hemisphere. So there could certainly be an indirect impact, not something that necessarily that you and I will personally notice, nor any of your listeners, but there are certainly sectors of our economy who are going to feel if there's any loss of trade.
So that's been it with our financial expert, Ken Switzer. I'm just talking about the week's top trending business and economics news. Some of the big things that's happened this week is that we had an update on the unemployment figures. You know, Ken just giving us some insight about how about a third of South Africans that are of working age are currently unemployed at the moment, which is a sad state of affairs. Also then talking about the president's speech, more opening up a different tone from the rest of the year, but at the same time, against the backdrop of a global economy that looks like it's going into further lockdown, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, that may have some impact on South Africa's economy, particularly for more export-driven businesses. But we continue to hope for the best and wait to see what actually happens in future. Otherwise, that's been it. On the other side of this, we continue with the show. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Rap with Ken Sweatman. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
In our Buffalo Index, we aim to educate about what R100 can do, because we all have one of these in our pockets, and to just relate what the economy looks like in the eyes of R100 or a Buffalo. Now, for today, since we are looking at the tourism sector, we decided to go out and look at what accommodation is looking like for holiday seekers in the city of Cape Town, which is one of the popular tourist destinations for South Africans and also for international travelers coming to South Africa. So we decided to break this down according to, you know, the lower, the middle and upper market, according to what is being listed on Airbnb, because, you know, nowadays in the age of technology, that's one of the go-to places when you're trying to find yourself a bargain for accommodation. Now, the first one on the lower end, you can get yourself a cozy bedroom in a shared house coming in for 2.5 buffaloes or R250, or you can get yourself into a sanitized idyllic studio apartment for 3.5 buffaloes, that is R350. And then now moving up into the middle market, this is where people start introducing words like luxurious and spacious into the marketing. And just starting off, you can get into a luxurious apartment in the heart of Cape Town that is fit for two guests. It has one bedroom, one bed, and two baths. That's coming in for 15.5 buffaloes. That's R1,530 per night. Or you can get into a spacious modern two-bedroom apartment that's fit for four guests with two bedrooms and two beds and two baths, coming in for about 21 buffaloes. That's R2,100 per night. On the upper part of the market, this is where we 10x, right? Because you'll see the prices that we've chosen, because we started at 2.5 buffaloes, you know, that's and then we've now, you know, switched over to about 20 buffaloes. So that was times 10. If we times 10 again, you know, sitting in these 200 or so buffalo range, you can see that you can get into something called the Grand Mariner. This is where we start talking words like villa that has sea views, appropriate for 10 guests, 5 bedrooms, 5 baths, 6.5 baths, and that's going to set you back R23,000 per night. You heard right, that's R23,000 per night, or 230 buffaloes. And then on the upper, we times 5 this time, at about, you know, 1,000 buffaloes, you can get into what's called the Villa Mirage, that is fit for 8 guests. It has 4 bedrooms and 6 beds and 1.5 baths. That's going to set you back, as I said, about 1,000 buffaloes or 110,000 rand. So that's been it for this edition of the Buffalo Index. On the other side of this, we get into the main topic.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz. Forget what the little birdie told you. Follow us at BoFM and join the conversation. More justice on the Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into our main topic for today, and we are looking at the tourism sector. We're in the middle of November, which means we are heading into the festive season, which has traditionally been a hotspot for, you know, travel in South Africa from, you know, people in and around South Africa and international travelers. But this sector has been one of the hardest hit during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're going to be talking a lot just around that. Now, before we get into the first part of the discussion, remember that you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. We are VAW FM, that's Voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VAW FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So to get the ball rolling, to give us a sense of what tourism actually means to the South African economy, and to give us an overview of what COVID-19 has done, we're joined by Chifiwa Chivengwa, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. Chifiwa, greetings to you.
Greetings, thank you for having me, and greetings to your listeners as well.
No, thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we actually get into perhaps what COVID-19 has done, you know, in the last half year or so since we first got into lockdown, what do you make of the president's speech last night? Because there were some aspects that do touch directly on your sector.
Well, I think that, the president's speech last night indeed touched on our sector, and it touched on the sector on the basis of, opening up, the international travel, which is the final phase of opening up tourism completely and fully, to allow the sector to recover. So I do believe that the fact that we have, the president have announced, it goes a long way in ensuring that there's certainty in the market, and in making sure that, all those that want to travel to South Africa can now, start making their bookings, and they can be able to come to South Africa. I think it's that important. It goes to show that, tourism has a huge potential in this country, and therefore, this opening, will definitely, support, the recovery, and therefore supporting the jobs, within the sector.
So with that in mind, then, can you maybe take us through what COVID-19 did do during the months when, restrictions were in place and people didn't have the freedom of movement, which has now been availed to South Africans and to people around the world?
Look, when we begin with the, what we call the hard lockdown, which was the first 2 weeks, sometime at the end of March this year, to April. We all thought that, perhaps we're getting into a situation where if we lock ourselves in the houses, we should be able to come out within those 2 weeks, be able to go back to business, although not as usual, but at least we should be able to trade. We realize as we go that we're in it for a long haul, with the president announcing the risk-adjusted strategy. And therefore, we had to make a plan in terms of, how do we survive as an industry. So the impact of COVID is that, you had an industry that had around 600,000 employees that were on a UIFTS program, meaning that they could not be supported by those companies because there was no income. You equally had, around, 50,000 odd, companies, especially the small ones, that closed down, and not, operate. In fact, the only ones that were operating were only few that were being used as part of the flattening the curve, that were being used as quarantine sites. But majority of the industry throughout the value chain was closed, and therefore, losing, income for both domestic and international. And just to give you, some figures is that, when you close both domestic and international, you lose around 748 million rand per day on tourism income. Meaning that tourism, say 2018, 2019, contributed in terms of income, around 273 billion rand, was spent in tourism value chain, and about 44% of that was international, and 56% was domestic. So the closure of tourism in its full extent, that's what you're looking at, you know, per day. 748 million rand per day is lost. And that's not a small figure. You know, when you look at the industry, you know, that contributes around 8.6% to total GDP, supports both direct and indirect jobs, about 1.5 million. So you had a whole lot more people that were not employed within the tourism stable, who, you know, by nature of their business supports tourism, those that were in agriculture, those that were in security services, and so forth and so on. So you're looking at an industry that's very much heavily impacted, devastated, lost a lot of billions. Right now we're counting at over 100 billion rand that has been lost from tourism. We're not going to recover that. We may never recover that, you know, in the next, you know, 2 years. But at least for now, we are back to some level of operations, although not where we are, but at least there is something within the value chain that's moving.
You know, as you're talking, one can't help but to appreciate what we mean by recovery, because you've just mentioned the fact that there's 100 billion rand that has been lost by the sector, which is unlikely to be recovered, as you said, in the next 2 years. And it sort of paints that picture in people's minds that when we talk about a recovery, the first thing that has to happen is to sort of claw back what was lost before you can actually even start growing, right? Which is, you know, I guess a dire state of affairs. But with, you know, travel restrictions having been lifted, at least starting from, I think it was, you know, level 3 into level 2, somewhere there, at least on the interprovincial side, and then, you know, borders starting to open up in level 1, etc. What type of activity did you guys start seeing during those these last couple of months?
Well, when we went to, you know, the intra-provincial travel, we saw that, you know, there was appetite for people to travel, and on the basis that people have been locked up in their houses, and it was time for them to go out, although they were not allowed to go to another province. But I think the bigger part of it came when we allow people to go to other provinces. We then started to see, from the domestic point of view, a lot of people having interest in, you know, traveling around, especially those that are in Gauteng. Because Gauteng is the largest contributor in domestic travel. If I'm not mistaken, around 60 to 67% of domestic travelers live here in Gauteng. So the beneficiaries of these numbers are, you know, your nearby provinces, your northwest, your free state, Mpumalanga and Limpopo, who benefit greatly on the travelers from Gauteng. So we started to see some level of, attention. A lot of people wanted to go out because they've been locked up. Now, with all this travel that's happening, it came at a cost, because we couldn't go back to the pricing that we had in the past. So we had a dual situation now whereby you have heavily discounted prices, and as much as in many other establishments, the hotels were full, but they were full on half price. So, you know, if you go back to what you used to do in the past, in essence, you're running at a 50% income that you used to get at a time where you need the income the most, you know, to have a working capital. So we did see the interest. We continue to see the interest. You know, with the restrictions that were done, you know, I think it was under level 3. Yes, the business travel was open, but business travel, you know, is comprised of government travel and corporate travel. Government is not traveling at the moment, and the corporates are also not traveling, as people now do meetings on all these technological platforms. So it simply means that you have a non-existent government travel, and you also have a non-existent corporate travel, which those two form the basis of our domestic tourism. The leisure domestic tourism, which is, you know, when people go to enjoy themselves or to take a break, is comprised of two things. One, you've got people that are going home to visit friends and relatives, which we call the VFR market. Those ones do touch the value chain of tourism, but in a limited way. because they usually drive themselves and they go to their homes, be it in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, or anywhere else. And then there is a category of those that are going out to stay in establishments and enjoy tourism activities. That's another, you know, portion of that. That portion of those that goes through the entire value chain of tourism, it's a small portion, given that, you know, majority of many people, you know, lost their jobs and they're unable to travel. And again, traveling is not a basic expenditure in many households. So we did see interest, although it was not sufficient to open up all the properties that we have. We are hopeful that it continues and it sustains us from the domestic point of view then. But for now, you know, the opening of international, you know, we'll definitely supplement the domestic that we have.
Now, you've already spoken about what's going on in terms of, you know, the pricing adjustments that have had to be made to perhaps attract people as a way, you know, as a way to start making those gains and at least, you know, spurring people to actually travel and get into hotels, resorts, that type of thing. But outside of pricing, what are some of the other adjustments that have had to be made? Perhaps, I don't know, shields, protective measures, sanitizing, or, you know, from an industry point of view, what are some of the innovations that are being implemented, you know, across the sector, you know, just as a way to make people feel safe that they can travel, that they can go and, you know, enjoy themselves, whether it's for business or leisure?
Well, look, you know, one of the biggest adjustments is obviously the implementation of the travel protocols, which we developed ourselves. With you know, everyone, you know, throughout the value chain, those ones, you know, are the biggest change, because now when you're an establishment, you don't just do things the way you used to do. So the making sure that people are wearing masks, making sure that, you know, establishments buy PPE to make sure that, you know, people are protected. And if you look even further, if you go to restaurant space, which is the hospitality part of it, you know, making sure that the tables are sanitized and so forth and so on. So the big issue there is that, you know, as much as, you know, the protocols are there and, you know, the establishment, you know, have managed to find some money to buy, it's not always possible for smaller establishments who don't have working capital to be spending, you know, the money that they don't have. So it became very difficult for small businesses to be able to comply, but we're doing something about it. We have, you know, technological platforms that we made available for those establishments to use. We did training to make sure that they understand what needs to happen in terms of the COVID protocols. But that was the biggest part, you know, in terms of how do we do the tourism business in a different way, you know, that mitigate the spread of COVID-19. And also protects, you know, our employees, protects our suppliers, and of course protects our patrons. So that was the biggest part. It comes with its own challenges, and it's something that we have observed that, you know, at the moment you have a lot of people that you visit restaurants, and restaurants are starting to double up as nightclubs. You find that people on the other side are doing what, you know, they're not supposed to do, getting close to each other, taking off masks and walking around as if the pandemic is gone. The pandemic is still here. And one of the most important things is that if we don't behave ourselves as South Africans, you know, we are putting other people's jobs at risk, especially those that work in the hospitality industry. What do I mean by that? If we have the second wave, or the upsurge in these numbers, we cannot afford to go on another lockdown. And that's why we've been saying that wearing a mask, you know, so everyone should understand that you're protecting the jobs of those that are dependent on the economy moving. Even, you know, when you wear your mask, you're protecting the jobs of a construction worker, you're protecting a job of an accountant, you're protecting the job of many people that work in various industries, because we will not have an upsurge of COVID cases if we do what we're supposed to do. So it's our civil duty to do so and to make sure that, you know, we protect each other as South Africans. So yes, the protocols development, the application of protocols, ensuring that we all adhere to protocols is one biggest change that is being implemented, you know, in tourism sector and many other sectors as well.
So that's been it. We're with the Chief Executive Officer of the Tourism Business Council. That's Mr. Chifiwa Chivengwa, who is just advocating to people to say that, you know, by adhering to safety protocols, you know, just wearing your mask and just being careful, that goes a long way to actually just protecting people in the economy, because there's been a lot of devastation. He spoke about more than 100 billion rand and having been lost by the sector so far. It's a big contributor to GDP. And all he's saying is that as much as, you know, the year has been bad, people need to do their part, because if infections do go up, the country might be forced then to go into further lockdown, or perhaps, you know, notch up those levels again, which really does do a lot to close down businesses and to reduce economic activity, which means that people's jobs and livelihoods will be at risk. So that's been it. You know, we just hope that everyone heard that and will be, you know, just staying safe and making sure that they behave as they should. On the other side of this, we continue with the show. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
COVID Biz Watch on the Business Buzz.
In our COVID Business Watch, we look at the impact of COVID-19 on various businesses in and around South Africa. And for today, our producer, Ntando Mqimba, went out and spoke to Jonas Zibia, who is running a branding business and has actually done a lot of branding for Wits and Wits Residences. The business is called House of Branding. Now, he was answering questions around briefly telling us about the business and what they do, how has the business actually performed since the start of the year, and what business lessons has Jonas actually learned through this period. Here's what he had to say.
Hi, my name is Jonas Zibia. I'm the founder and CEO of a company named House of Branding. We are based in 3 Lewis Road in Richmond, Johannesburg. We specialize in branding, as the name of the company says, House of Branding. So we specialize in all types of branding that you can name. We do signage, we do clothing, embroidery, we manufacture even clothing. We do embroidery, we do screen printing, we do vinyl printing, we do sublimation print that can be used to do a lot of things also, where you can use your white, your roll up, your pull up banners, you can use your corporate flags, your flat banner wall, you can do quite a number of things, your gazebos. So yeah, that's, I think for now you have an idea of what to do. So we are working with different companies. We supply clothing for them mainly, and other general branding that any company can ever need. So yes, we started a while ago. I started this company some time ago, and I was still a student during that time. But things got a bit complicated along the way, especially this year has been one of the most challenging years that I've ever had in business. I have, for as much as we've upgraded the buildings that we had, we've maximized the staff that we have, but those were amongst the things that I used to try and get better profits, if I can put it that way. Try to maximize the turnaround time, try to maximize how our customer care service is. So it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been an easy year at all. So the challenges that we found, obviously, the turnaround, the turnovers that we used to make in the previous years is different now. The profits are no longer the same. Things probably just went off by half. We depended mostly on events and concerts, and churches, schools, universities. That's where most of our clientele was. But because of the COVID situation, most of our customers, they went out of business, some of them, you see. So it becomes such a problem for us to manage to like keep on running the way we used to. But what we didn't do, what I didn't do personally, is that I didn't give up. I maintained, I kept on pushing, I kept on hiring more people, I kept on having different branches day and day. But that is just for us to be exposed, to be out there. Yeah, those are amongst the challenges that I met this year. But one thing I've learned is that we need to keep on pushing, because there's no way we can just let such a business go away, such a business fade. People need branding. I have interns that depend on what we do on the company, so it becomes a challenge for us to just decide to quit the business, to just decide to just let things be. So I can't just decide to now I'm closing up the business, I'm retrenching people. No retrenchments happened in our company, fortunately, for this year. No retrenchments, no one was fired, so at least we still have our staff. But a lesson that we learned is that we need to keep on pushing. We shouldn't give up. We have to hope for the better. We just hope for a better tomorrow. So yeah, that's my advice that I'll give to someone. Just don't give up. Just keep on pushing. Just remain hopeful. Pray about it. It's gonna happen. Yeah, thank you very much. Once again, this is Jonas Bia from House of Branding, based in 3 Lewis Road in Richmond, Johannesburg. We are the masters of branding. Thank you.
COVID Biz Watch on the Business Buzz. Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
We're back for the second part of our discussion, just around the tourism industry and the impact of COVID-19. Now, we just spoke to the Tourism Business Council, giving us some insight into, you know, where tourism actually places. You heard some really incredible numbers, over 700 million rand made a day just from the tourism sector, contributing about 8% of GDP. But now we want to turn to, you know, what's actually happening on the ground with tourism operators. But remember that to join in the discussion, you can let us know, are you going to be taking advantage of the lifting of travel restrictions that the president has actually instituted from this week? And are you going to be traveling for the festive season? Let us know. On Facebook, we have our FM, that's Voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that is Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So to join us and to talk to us about what's happening on the ground, we're joined by Sipokazi Khoza, who is the founder and director of STM Travel Agency. Sipokazi, greetings to you. Can you just, usher us into this discussion by just letting us know a little bit around STM Travel Agency, what you guys are doing?
Hi, Mudiwa. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Well, thank you. So STM Travel creates luxurious travel experience and offers exclusive discounts. Discounts are great to South Africans in South Africa. We cater for South Africans who want to travel five-star traveling in South Africa.
Ah, that's actually quite interesting. And on that side, how has in the last couple of months been for the business?
Actually, STM Travel was founded in August, which was during lockdown. We haven't had any problems. In fact, we've gotten great support and great feedback. But I know that during lockdown, South African tourism has been affected a lot, with 270 billion lost a month, and a lot of traveling agencies had to close down, others cut jobs, as well as Airbnb.
So with that in mind, I'm just quick to follow up on what you've just said, to maybe understand perhaps what opportunities you are seeing at a time when other agencies are closing down. What gave you the confidence to say that you can start something, especially through such a difficult time?
Actually, it was through Twitter, because I used to share a lot of lodges, a lot of hotels, and what I realized is with the gap in the market, a lot of people who wanted to travel weren't exposed to the fact that there were local prices and international prices. And most hotels and establishments weren't upfront about the local prices. So when you go on the net or go through their website, they will actually tell you, no, they'll give you the international prices, and not everyone has the ability to negotiate to better pricing. So that's where I saw the gap, and I was like, no, listen, as soon as the country opens up and we are able to travel, I want each and every South African who is able to afford to visit all these luxurious places at the price that they can afford, you know. So that's where it all started, and that's how STM was founded.
I guess, you know, a good question then is, what travel opportunities are currently available, you know, for South Africans at the moment? You've already mentioned the fact that there seems to be this leaning towards the international market and international prices. So, you know, with that in mind, what are some of the opportunities and, you know, what are some of the services that you're actually offering to help people to get these opportunities?
What FEM Travel Agency does is gives you the exact local rate up front. So we basically deal with the establishments to say, listen, I only deal with South African local travelers. This is the amount that I need you guys to, whether it's a discounted rate or a percentage, I need you guys to give us. So it's basically me talking on behalf of a guest who wants to travel and experience the luxurious stay. Also, what a lot of establishments have done, they've actually worked with us and partnered with us. And from, I think, the biggest one that has received is 77% off for a duration at a luxury stay, which includes all meals, 2 game drives a day, and the whole experience.
And then, you know, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about what it means to actually operate then during this time. What do you make of the prices at the moment? Because even though you are, what's it called, even though you are giving people those upfront local prices, right, and you have this relationship and you work well with many lodges and hotels, what do you think of the current prices? Are they favorable for South Africans?
To be quite honest, because of our economy, a lot of people can't afford to travel. It's quite expensive. But with that said, we also need to consider the cost that these establishments go through and how much it costs for them to maintain, you know, the whole lodge. For example, if you're going to a Kruger National Lodge, they'll still have to pay levies for, and they still have to, excuse me, they still have to pay for rhino poaching fees to prevent rhino poaching, and they still shift because you get catered for from breakfast, gourmet meals, 3-course dinner. It's 2 game drives a day, so you need to understand the cost that they put into. You know, there are hotels and lodges that are overpriced. I don't want to lie, they are overpriced. But as I stated, that I saw a gap and I was willing to bridge that gap. Unfortunately, it can't be for everyone, and that is why, at the end of the day, people, we can't expect 1-star budget on a 5-star resort. It's impossible, you know?
And you know, I like what you've just said, that you can't be paying, you know, 1-star prices and expect, you know, 5-star, I guess, levels of value. And that then, you know, feeds into the economy. And perhaps on the other side of that coin, I'm not sure how much you can share with us, but given those costs that, you know, the travel operators do have, right, do you think they are making money, you know, on the other side? Because I guess it's two sides to the coin. On the one hand, travel seems expensive for South Africans, but on the other side, are South African tourism operators making money?
Well, I think it always depends on the agreement that the operator would have with the establishment. all together, but honestly, it is not much. For me, I did not go into the business because of monetary value, but rather with the enticement of wanting people to experience the good that South Africa has. We do have lovely gems, and I really wanted to experience it. For me, going into the business was never monetary. So if you're going to go into the business with the monetary idea that I want to get money out of this, please don't go into it. You're going to be disappointed.
I definitely appreciate the candidness on that front. And then the other one that people are having to, I guess, contend with is the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions. You said you started in August, and at the time there were some restrictions there. So what are some of the effects of the COVID-19 lockdown restrictions on your business and the tourism sector as a whole, and how have you managed to actually work around these challenges?
I mean, as I said, when I started, I can't compare with before lockdown and during lockdown, because I started, it came and founded during lockdown, so I just know the experience of it during lockdown, and a lot of establishments have seen ways to work around the lockdown restrictions, where you had the buy now and stay later vouchers, they had the two-night stay, you pay for 2 nights and you stay for 3 nights. They have discounted rates, which are further discounted. So that's how they've been trying to do it. And there's also travel share, which not most of establishments have gone into. But for those who had recently, like previously, went into the timeshare, they didn't experience much loss.
So, Sipokazi, you know, just going through things, you guys have decided to start the business, obviously identifying some gap in the market. But against the backdrop of everything we have spoken about at the moment, do you see and think that South Africans are keen to actually travel in and around the country?
South Africans are keen to travel. It's just that with lockdown and COVID, we've been hit. So there isn't much economy left for us to travel. There's just enough funds for us to live by. But I think in most cases, we are willing to travel. It's also the fact that we aren't exposed to the different star rating, the budget of it, and the fact that a lot of lodges do allow us to basically lay by our stay, where there are buy now and stay later vouchers. You can pay in portions to ensure that at a certain day you are able to afford to stay there. So there's a lot of factors, and I think it's mostly tourism not advertising such, and that most establishments aren't regulated by tourism. So anyone can just price the way they want to. That's the unfortunate part about it.
And then, you know, as we end off the discussion, I'm keen to hear how people can get in touch with you. And then specifically, as you're answering that, also just curious to hear, when people do engage with you, asking questions, etc., what are some of the things that people that do get in touch with you, what are they mainly asking about?
It'll all be depending, but it would either be, can we get lower rates? Can the per person be changed to Peru? That works on an advantage sometimes, and it works at a disadvantage in other times. So, mostly it's just, can we get lower rates? Can the per person be changed to Peru?
Ah, okay, cool.
You can get a hold of us. You can get a hold of us on SPM Travel on Twitter, and our website is www.spmtravel.co.za, and the email address is info@spmtravel.co.za, which will get most of our details via our WhatsApp line and our contact number.
So you heard it, that's stmtravel.co.za and STM Travel on Twitter.
It's STM_travel on Twitter.
@stm_travel. So that's been us, Sipokazi Koza, who is the founder and director of STM Travel Agency, just giving us some insight into what's going on, you know, on the ground as an operator, and also just talking about you know, the gap that she identified, because she was just saying that in a lot of cases South Africans don't know that they can actually get some lower rates, but also just admitting that some of the rates do tend to be out of the reach of many South Africans. But at the same time, we always have to be cognizant of the costs that actually go into travel and providing some of these experiences on the side of hotels and other types of operators. And also just talking about what's actually going on in the market, and then just ending off talking about the fact that South Africans really are keen to know what's going on and to travel and see more of their country, which is the mission that Sipokazi is on. So that's been it. Thank you so much. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
Thank you to everyone who's been watching. Thank you to our amazing guests. Thank you to Chifua and to Sipokazi for sharing their insights about the place of tourism in the economy and why it's such an important, you know, employer and, you know, supply chain in the country, value chain in the country, and the type of revenues that it is generating on a daily basis and adding to the fiscus. And then to Sipokazi for just giving us some insight into what's actually going on the ground, some of the concerns that you know, travelers have in South Africa. People want to travel but are still constrained by the price of accessing, you know, certain locations and the actual cost of travel itself. So very interesting discussion. I think it's quite important for this one to have a bit of focus, and ending off with where we started the show, where we spoke about the president's speech. That really just does show the importance of travel and tourism. You heard from Chipiwa the amount of money that is being contributed by the sector to the country. And when you hear the president, even against the backdrop of rising COVID-19 cases in places like Europe, actually going out and saying that this thing needs to happen, it does show how important this sector is to the economy, and also just recognition by the state around how important it is to allow people to move around during the festive season, and just how much money the country would likely to lose if they didn't do such a thing. So we just hope that, as Chifua said, people, you know, adhere to the health and safety restrictions, because doing that actually helps to keep food on people's plates, because it means that the economy can keep ticking. Let us know what you think. You know, how deep is tourism in your life? Are you a traveler? Do you travel? Are you interested in traveling? What do you think about the prices? Let us know. On Facebook, we have our FMO Voice of Vits, and then our other Facebook page is Vits Radio Academy, and then on Twitter, we're @VowFM, and then our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. You can also search for us on iono.fm, and remember that our content is available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've reached the end of today's show. Thank you to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kutlwano Zerame, together with our executive producer, Glory Mabuza, and then our producers, Slindile Msivi and Tando Klimba, together with Simbarashe Honde. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Otherwise, don't turn that dial. There's more great content coming up on the Vow FM lineup. So for myself, Mudio Mob, Justice Kavaza, and the rest of the team, it is good afternoon and take care.
The Business Buzz Podcast.